Poglavitni problemi, s katerimi se soočajo države, ki sprejemajo imigrante, so običajno občutek izgube suverenosti in grožnje nacionalni varnosti in identiteti ter pritisk na socialne ustanove in servise. Migracije kot potencijalna grožnja nacionalni varnosti so pogosto močan argument desničarskih diskurzov v državah Evropske unije in na njenih obrobjih. Ti se osredotočajo predvsem na nevarnosti, ki jo imigranti predstavljajo domačemu prebivalstvu na področju ekonomije in kulture. Tako je pogosto slišati očitke, da imigranti prevzemajo službe domačinom ter ogrožajo politično in kulturno kohezivnost družbe. Uršulo smo vprašali, ali je mogoče govoriti o povečani ksenofobiji in rasizmu v irski družbi.
I think we did a survey last year. We did two surveys. The first survey was on the views of black people and ethnic minority people living in Ireland. And then the second survey was on Irish people responding. So amongst the ethnic minority communities, there was an overwhelming majority that thought that racism was a really big problem in Ireland today, and that and most of them did not have any faith in the criminal justice system or the police to help them in any way. And I think that racist crimes or racist incidents are very underreported here, because the problem is that, well, particularly amongst asylum seekers, they would be very reluctant to bring themselves to the attention of the authorities. Also, undocumented people are hardly going to complain to the police about racist abuse when they don't even have documents to stay here legally. And the Irish people that responded to the other survey also thought that racism was quite a problem and that it was up to the government to do something about it. I think that it's absolutely impossible to say, you know, whether a particular nation is racist or not racist. Or there's always going to be sections in every society that will be that will feel threatened by outsiders coming in, and you will always have that. So whether you want to call, if you want to call these people racists, that's fine by me. But you know, you could have a philosophical debate for 3 days about that. Certainly, you have to take into account that there are people that are worried, and you will find that a lot of the antagonism, a lot of the outspoken antagonism, is in more working class circles. But amongst more middle class people, you won't hear people being so vociferous and outspoken about it. But there seems to be a certain silent consensus sometimes that more restrictive laws and laws that would not encourage more immigration or more asylum seeking are welcome. So it's impossible to know, really, you know, what, you know, you can't really characterize the Irish people as one thing or another. I think they're two camps, you know.
And twist. Settle down, don't take a fit. You drank a demon straight from hell. They almost nearly won as well. You wiped the floor with victory. Then puked until you fell asleep. Lacking was the banshee's wail. His boots are never filling. And you crawl into an empty boat. Far to go from Mexico. But Curtis came and so did you. From the ashes turned blue. Smelling like a salty dog. Back from hell where you belong.
watch you dance the jig at death and left you for the starboard cross. Hovering like hungry horse, if you're down for future ride, you'll be handing such a smile and so leaving. Hey, I need the booger so I can sing.
Erozija socialnih in delavskih pravic, naraščajoča brezposelnost in strah pred posledicami, ki bi jih prinesla napovedana institucionalna reforma Evropske unije, so bili med odločilnimi dejavniki, da so Irci junija leta 2001 na referendumu zavrnili pogodbo iz Nice. Pogodba je bila sicer ključnega pomena za širitev Unije, saj med drugim opredeljuje institucionalno zastopstvo novih članic ter daje smernice za delovanje Evropske komisije, Sveta Evropske unije in Evropskega parlamenta, obenem pa določa skupno obrambno in varnostno politiko Unije. Zaradi ustavnih določil je bila Irska edina članica Evropske unije, v kateri so morali pogodbo iz Nice potrditi državljani in državljanke na referendumu. To je bil na Irskem peti referendum povezan z Evropsko unijo od njenega vstopa v Evropsko družbo leta 1973. Vsi referendumi dotedaj so bili uspešni, zato je bil irski ne ratifikaciji pogodbe iz Nice strahovit udarec tako za irsko vlado kot za ostale članice 15-erice. Najbolj zaskrbljene pa so bile države kandidatke, saj je to, vsaj na prvi pogled, pomenilo, da je nadaljna pot za institucionalno prenovo Unije blokirana. Referenduma se je sicer udeležilo zgolj 34% volilnih upravičencev, od katerih je nekaj več kot polovica glasovala proti pogodbi. Vlada je za neuspeh hitro okrivila pomankanje informacij in nerazumevanje vsebine pogodbe, kar je podkrepila ravno z dokazi o nizki volilni udeležbi. Nadaljne analize poraza so pokazale, da je bil za odklonilno stališče ljudi odločilnega pomena strah pred izgubo tradicionalne irske vojaške neutralnosti, ki so jo ogrožale smernice razvoja skupne obrambne in varnostne politike. Nekateri so proti glasovali zaradi strahu, da se bo delež finančne pomoči, ki se na Irsko steka iz bruseljske blagajne, radikalno zmanjšal, ko bodo v Unijo vstopile nove, pomoči potrebne države. Mnogo volivcev pa ni bilo zadovoljnih z načinom soodločanja v krovnih evropskih institucijah, saj so bili prepričani, da pogodba omogoča oblikovanje tako imenovane dvotirne Evrope, kjer bi imele velike države članice premoč pri oblikovanju pomembnih odločitev, manjše države pa bi bile samo demokratični okrasek. Kljub zavrnitvi pogodbe iz Nice so oblasti naslednje leto referendum ponovile. Tokrat so šle v predreferendumski boj veliko bolj organizirano. Državljanom je bilo zagotovljeno, da Irska ne bo sodelovala v skupni evropski obrambi, razen, če bi se zato odločili na referendumu. Za predreferendumsko kampanjo je bilo porabljenih 1,5 milijona evrov, kar je strahovito ogorčilo nasprotnike pogodbe iz Nice. Vlado so obtožili, da je delovala protiustavno, saj je Vrhovno sodišče leta 1995 razsodilo, da je porabljanje javnih sredstev za enostransko kampanjo pred referendumi v nasprotju z ustavo. Irska komisija za referendum bi tako morala po mnenju sodišča pred glasovanjem o dokumentu prebivalcem predstaviti tako argumente za kot tudi proti pogodbi in nameniti enaka sredstva za promocijo stališč obeh taborov. Na Na ponovljenem referendumu oktobra leta 2002 so se Irci izrekli za potrditev pogodbe iz Nice. Volilna udeležba je bila nekaj manj kot 50-odstotna, za pa je glasovalo 63% volivcev in volivk. Proti pogodbi iz Nice se je tako ob prvem kot ob drugem referendumu izrekla pisana paleta strank in gibanj, med njimi stranka zelenih, Sinn Féin, socialisti, različne verske organizacije in pripadniki gibanj za pravičnejšo globalizacijo. O razlogih za uspeh drugega referenduma smo se pogovarjali s Timom Crowleyem, aktivistom za obstoj irskega jezika.
It's Mr. Tiger Crowley, Agus Tamche Imachonianche in Éireann. So that's the Gaelge for my name is Tim Crowley and I live here in Ireland and I analyze not only what goes on here in Ireland but in a global sense as well what is actually happening in other countries. And how it impinges upon us, because Ireland joined the European Union in 1973. For a lot of people, that was very, very good news. But 30 years later, it is bad news. And we are just after a referendum on the Nice Treaty. And the lack of democracy was absolutely appalling and insulting. And we worked very, very hard to try and stop it. But because of the lack of democracy and because of the behaviour of our government, and not only because our government were too weak, but the European Union dictated as well that they want a yes to the Nice Treaty, we were forced into a second referendum. The first referendum, we had a majority that said no. The second referendum, the people were tricked in the most appallingly, blatantly and bullying manner to vote yes, and they voted yes. Now, we will be learning from now on exactly what is in store for us. There is a lack of democracy, not just in Ireland, but also in the European Union and also at a global level.
O metodah prepričevanja in izseljevanju, ki so ga bili deležni irski volivci in volivke v obdobju med prvim in drugim referendumom, bo več povedala Deirdre, aktivistka za globalno pravičnost in svetovalka stranke zelenih.
Well, what happened was that first of all a lot more money was spent the second time round. The first time around the government assumed that people would support the treaty and were very shocked when they didn't. The second time round they spent a lot of money and they used a lot of negative propaganda. They told the Irish people, firstly, that the Irish economy would suffer dreadfully if they didn't vote for the Nice Treaty. They said that foreign direct investment would be withdrawn from Ireland, that we would lose foreign direct investment. And we had major industrialists coming over to Ireland and telling the people of Ireland that if we didn't vote for the Nice Treaty, that it would jeopardise our economy. So we see international capital now dictating how the political and democratic decisions that the people of Ireland should make. Secondly, we were told that if we didn't vote for the Nice Treaty, we were keeping countries like Slovenia, like Poland, like Latvia out of the European Union. And we were told these were poor countries that had suffered under the communist regime and that they deserved a chance to enjoy the same prosperity as the rest of the European Union. And it was emotional blackmail, really, that was used to persuade people. And Irish people didn't want to deny countries like your own the opportunity to benefit, perhaps in the same way economically that we had. So I think people were persuaded for those two reasons to vote yes the second time.
Tako Tim Crowley kot Deirdre sta sodelovala v kampanji, ki je nasprotovala ratifikaciji pogodbe iz Nice. O razlogih za svoje nasprotovanje pogodbi je Deirdre povedala naslednje.
Well, we believed that the Nice Treaty was a bad treaty for Ireland and for other small applicant countries, because what the Nice Treaty does is it shifts power towards the larger states. So we don't believe it's in the interests of the countries like your own, like Slovenia, to enter into a European Union that is giving most of the power to the large states and that is pushing forward a neoliberal economic agenda. And that's exactly what is happening through the European Union. And in your country and in other countries that are, you know, that want to join the European Union, you are being forced to sign up to European laws and economic structures that will mean that over time you will see a lot of your state industries and your state assets being privatised as part of the neoliberal economic agenda, and you will see people beginning to have to pay more and more for what were up to now public services. So we don't think it's in the interests of countries like your own to ratify or to sign up to the Nice Treaty. And you know, we would certainly be encouraging you, if you have a referendum in your country, to campaign as hard as you can to encourage people not to support the Nice Treaty.
Podobne razloge za nasprotovanje ima tudi Tim Crowley, ki tako irskim oblastem kot vrhovnim evropskim institucijam učita pomankanje demokracije in ignorantski odnos do mnenja irskih volivcev in volivk.
Well, first of all, last June, 12 months, which was June 2001, we voted in the Nice referendum. The result was no. Immediately after that, our prime minister told the European Union, we will go back to the people again for another referendum. Now, what that meant was it undermined the status of a referendum. It disrespected the decision of the people. It disrespected the people who voted no, but it also disrespected the people who voted yes. Their decision wasn't considered. So they decided to come back to the people again, and on the 19th of October, they decided to hold a second referendum. That's just 2 months ago. And that was extremely hard work for us, because this time round, the government, there was interference from the European Union, there was interference from the powerful farming, the big farming lobby that got all the grants from Europe. There was interference from the business community. There was interference from the trade unions. They all were against us. We were small people, and we had no funding. All we had to do was to go out on bicycles and go around in buses and walk and get into cars together and to try and get around and leaflet and organise public meetings and try and wake up people to what was in store for us. What was in store for us? First of all, it meant a whole new centralisation of power for the European Commission, which is not elected by the people. They are appointed. They are not elected. They are appointed. That is a lack of democracy.
Tim Crowley je obenem prepričan, da Evropska unija še ni pripravljena za širitev po načelu velikega poka, ki pomeni, da bi v unijo leta 2004 naenkrat vstopilo 10 držav.
What the government did is they hoodwinked the people, saying that if we voted no, we are going to slow down all those new countries that want to join. That was a lie, because there was instruments in place to allow new countries to come in. Now, the new countries that come in, they could come in at about 4 or 5 at a time, not 10 or 12. If 4 or 5 come in at a time, that is more manageable rather than 10 or 12. So for 10 or 12 to suddenly come in, it's a whole new impact. But the European Union wanted 10 or 12 to come in, because 10 or 12 then makes the European Union a much bigger power lobby. It makes it a much bigger military force as well, to battle against America and against NATO. So Ireland is a neutral country. So we were aligning with new countries again that were part of NATO, along with other countries that were part of NATO, and our neutrality then would be weakened because of that. At the moment, Eric, as we speak, American planes are landing in Shannon Airport. in a neutral country, that is a total disgrace. Now, with the Nice referendum and the answer that it got, that gives the government the go-ahead to do what they've already been doing, but to do more than that. So now, there is a meeting starting in the moment in Copenhagen. It's starting tomorrow, where they're all meeting about how these new countries are going to come in. Before the referendum, we were told, hurry up, vote yes this time and let those countries come in. Now that they got a yes, they're taking their time about letting the countries come in. So the whole process is slowed. What was the hurry before the referendum? Now they can do what they like. So there's an incredible lack of democracy. Another very, very important point about the Nice referendum was, if we got a no vote, that would mean that four or five countries would come in. We would manage that carefully. Because already what is happening within the European Union, before any new country comes in, they cannot manage the countries that are already there. So why should new countries come in? We should get our own house in order. For example, environmental law under the European Union, environmental impact statements, are being abused here in Ireland. The European Union cannot do anything about it. As an environmentalist myself, I know exactly what is going on. So to let new countries in without having the structures in place properly, it's irresponsible. So if we could have got a no to Nice, we would have slowed that process down and said, hold on. Hold on now. Just hold on. We have to get all of these things in place first. Then we'll welcome the new countries in. We are all for new countries coming in and their diversity and their culture. We will be only too happy to welcome it all. But the structures have to be in place. The social structures have to be in place. People have to have a right to houses. People have to have a right to education. People have to have a right to health. People have to have the right to a clean environment. But that is not there, because the law of the land is being broken, not only here in Ireland, but in France, in Belgium, in Denmark, in Greece, in Italy, in Spain, in Portugal. How dare you force us into a new decision that is going to destroy other countries as well? How dare you? So please, it should be a no. Let's go to our own house in order before Slovenia and other countries come in. They deserve the right, because their environment is not as destroyed as ours. They have to have a right to come into a European Union that respects their indigenous land, people, culture, language. We didn't realise at the time. 30 years later, we do. So that's what we were trying to do by voting no, is to slow down this madness, this utter madness. That's why we looked for a no vote in Nice.
Why, the stuff in love of this, there's nothing ever gained by a red sink or a tear. But the world is too dark, and I need the light inside of here. I'll go into the bar and drink a 15 pints of it, because I'm gone.
Poseben velik problem za irske volivke in volivce ob vprašanju ratifikacije pogodbe iz Nice je bil, kot že rečeno, strah pred izgubo irske vojaške neutralnosti. V javnosti je še posebej odmevala napovedana ustanovitev skupnih evropskih sil za hitro posredovanje. Nasprotniki pogodbe iz Nice so v oblikovanju teh sil videli nov dokaz za vse večjo militarizacijo Evropske unije. Obenem bi bilo irsko sodelovanje v teh silah v nasprotju z irskimi zavezami, da ne bodo nikoli sodelovali v vojaških zvezah in vojaških operacijah.
Absolutely, as part of the European or as part of the Nice Treaty, we Ireland has agreed that it will participate in the European Rapid Reaction Force, and we are being told, well, this is not a mutual defence agreement. What we say is this is a mutual offence agreement. It will allow the European Union to act up to 4,000 kilometres outside its own borders, and it will be used, we have no doubt, for resource wars, mostly in the Middle East and in Asia. And this has huge implications for Irish neutrality. In fact, what our government is doing is dismantling our neutrality slowly. And at the moment, there is a convention on the future of Europe that is discussing the next European treaty. And a proposal has been made in the working group on defence that every country in the European Union should pay a certain percentage of its GDP, its gross domestic product, for defence purposes. So in other words, a neutral country like Ireland would be paying a certain percentage of its gross domestic product into a defence budget for the European Union. And again, we would have little control over how that would be spent.
Dokaz za vse večje erodiranje irske neutralnosti naši sogovorniki vidijo tudi v načrtovanem vladnem proračunu, ki so ga pred kratkim sprejeli za prihodnje leto. Država ukinja vse več zdravstvenih in socialnih storitev ter beneficij, na drugi strani pa denar namenja za vojaško oborožitev.
In Ireland is part of the globalization, and there's an incredible madness going on all around us, and I suppose I'm going to give one example of this madness, and that is 2 weeks ago, we had the budget where the government were planning what's going to happen for the coming year, how our finances were, how much in debt we were, and how they're going to get money in on taxes. That is to shove up the price of cigarettes, shove up the price of petrol. Diesel was shoved up, I think. But anyway, I can't remember the precise details, but what really stood out was the cessation or the stopping of the first-time buyers' grants for houses. Now, when the first time grants were given, it was €4,000. Now, what that meant was the following day, the builders and the auctioneers came along, they put just 4,000 extra euros on the house. So in other words, it was the builders who got it, not the people who deserved it, the first-time buyers trying to buy furniture, trying to get everything together, trying to start out their lives as a family. So by cutting the first-time grant of 4,000 euros, they were saving a projected 60 million euros. Now, on the surface, that looks good. But on the exact same paper, the Irish Independent, I read in another section of it where they had just spent 14 million euros on anti-tank missiles. Now, when I read that on the paper, I just felt like going mad because it just didn't make sense. Anti-tank missiles. Now, where are the enemy tanks in Ireland? In a neutral country called Ireland, where are they? 14 million euros that would have gone into health service. Last week, my mother ended up in hospital, and the service she's getting in the hospital is very, very disappointing. That's because it's understaffed. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but she's poorly treated in the hospital. And she went in with a broken hip, and she's going to come out with a lot more ailments than a hip treatment. So I'm very, very worried about her health from now on. That's because of the cutback in the health services. But on the other hand, there was money available to spend on anti-tank missiles. And what kind of sense is there in that? Anti-tank missiles in a country that is neutral, it makes no sense.
Prav tako se zdi nekaterim v nasprotju s statusom neutralnosti, da so irska letališča za postanke uporabljala ameriška letala, ki so se odpravljala na bojne polete v Afganistan in na Bližnji vzhod. Številna irska mirovniška gibanja zato že nekaj mesecev organizirajo protestne shode na letališču Shannon, kjer protestirajo proti navzočnosti ameriške vojske. O poteku teh aktivnosti nam bo več povedala Deirdre.
Okay, well, after September the 11th, our Taoiseach, or Prime Minister, personally offered the use of Irish airspace to George Bush and to the American military to use in their war against Afghanistan, and that has continued throughout the war in Afghanistan, but since then, American military aircraft have been landing at and flying over Shannon Airport. They've, you know, used it for refueling and so on, which means that this country, which is supposedly a neutral country, has been helping America in its war effort, in the illegal war that it carried out against Afghanistan, and now in the war that it's preparing for against Iraq. There's a huge military build-up happening in the Gulf region at the moment of the US military, and they're using Shannon Airport as part of that build-up. So obviously a lot of Irish people are very worried about this, and there have been several protests at Shannon Airport, which is letting the government know that they have no mandate, no democratic mandate from the Irish people to allow our airports to be used by the American military for their wars on countries in the Middle East. We also have a peace camp. The Green Party have established a peace camp at Shannon Airport. It's very small at the moment, but we're hoping that it may become something bigger over time, something like Greenham Common in England, and that there will be a permanent presence there in the peace camp, where there will be a monitoring of all of the aeroplanes, the American aeroplanes that are actually landing and using Shannon.
Z vstopom v Evropsko unijo in institucionalnimi spremembami, ki se obetajo tej panevropski instituciji, se na Irskem širi strah pred nadaljno izgubo suverenosti in nacionalne biti. Podobno kot konec 19. stoletja je vse več glasov, ki pozivajo k ohranjanju in negovanju irske kulturne dediščine. Pomembno vlogo pri tem igrajo skupine in društva, ki se zauzemajo za ohranitev izvorne irščine. O pomenu nacionalnega jezika bo več povedal Tim Crowley, aktivist, ki se bori za obstoj irskega jezika.
I started out by giving my name in Irish, because I believe in the Irish language, that it will save us. I also believe that the Slovenian language will save the Slovenian people, Dutch will save the Dutch people, Arabic will save Arab peoples. We have to support our own language, and then we can have a common language as well. The common language for me is Esperanto. We have to all start learning Esperanto. It is a simple language to learn. It is a language that is global, but it's non-imperialist. It's not like English, which has been forced on our throats. In Ireland, our language is Irish, but English was forced on our throats. For anybody to come to Ireland, they can speak English, but they are not speaking to the true Irish person. When they will learn a little bit of Irish, to speak to an Irish person and talk Irish, then they're speaking to a true Irish person. Because when they speak Irish, then they will learn about our culture, they will learn about our music, they will learn about our dance, they will learn about all different aspects about our sport. So we will have to learn Irish first. Irish people have to learn it, and anybody that comes to Ireland, I always plead with people to learn please, thank you, hello and goodbye in Irish. Please in Irish is Máshe de Hole. Thank you is Gurev Mahagut. Hello is Diahuit, which is the Gaelga for may God be with you. And goodbye is Dialat, which is may God go with you. It is a beautiful, beautiful language. So there's only four sentences that I look for tourists to learn. And if they stay longer then, that they learn more. Now, that is the Irish language in terms of our spirit and our culture. But it also stops the... And it's also vital in anti-globalization. Because globalization is in English. It's also in Spanish. It's also in French. And it's also in German, in the big imperial languages. So we have to get back to our own languages to retreat from the English. English is the main globalization language. Why I say that is because it's done through the computer and the internet. Most of the internet is in English. So everybody wants to learn English. If you want my opinion, learn Esperanto. That should be the language, because Esperanto is a voluntary language that we learn in a gentle way. It's not like English, which was forced on our throats. It's not like Spanish, which was forced on the throats of Central America and Latin America and of the indigenous native peoples. They have their language, but they were forced to speak and learn Spanish. It's exactly the same with the Aborigines in Australia. They have their language, but they're forced to speak English. So when people don't speak their native language, they become drunks, they become dropouts, they fall by the wayside. But we will give them dignity and courage again by speaking their language, or at least learning a couple sentences.
Zaradi invazivne globalistične logike, ki vse preveč uniformira, so Irci začeli negovati tako imenovane nove lokalizme. Na lokalnih ravneh pripravljajo kulturne dogodke, zborovanja, jezikovne tečaje in podobno, kjer skušajo uveljaviti in oživljati tradicionalno irsko kulturno dediščino, vključno z irščino.
Today is Friday the 13th of December and I organized the screening of two short films. Now, our experience here in Ireland is because of globalization, we speak English and we get dumped on by Hollywood and all of its junk culture. So what I try and do is I organize around films that give people an alternative. Today, with the Ionad Bualais Teach na Gaeilge or the Irish Language Drop-In Centre, we meet every Friday. Our, I suppose, our raison d'etre, our reason for getting together is a cooperation. That's the first thing. Secondly, it's to make people think about our language. It is to make people think about our language in a comfortable setting. So that we meet, that we have fairly traded coffee, which gives the producers a fairer wage and fair working conditions. It is fairly traded coffee and fairly traded tea that we drink. And we talked in Irish. We discuss what we're all doing and seeing are we making any progress or whatever. And besides that, then we organise different events. Today, because of my interest in films, I organised two short films. They were screened at the Cork Film Festival. First of all, the one short film was 4 minutes long, a cartoon, and it was inspired by a poem written by a person who works on an Irish language radio station called Radio na Liffey. So that is Liffey Radio. The main river that flows through Dublin is called the Liffey. So it's called Radio na Liffey. He works there. So he composed a poem that was the basis to the cartoon. So when I saw that film, I said, I want to organise a screening around that film, invite that person that would explain the background. That's what he did today. That's Carol that was there today. He explained around that film in Irish, Os Gaeilge. So that was the 4 minute short film. The second film then was based on an old Irish proverb. And the Gaeilge is, Unté nach will lauder, kafa ved lick. So he or she who is not powerful or strong has to be clever. So that's a very powerful proverb in the Irish language. So that was a short film on that. So that was the short film, the two short films today. And after that, then we had wine and food and stuff because it was also the Christmas party. So there were two easygoing short films that weren't too heavy. So it was a day to relax. Because the Irish language is all about, it's also about celebrating our lives and where we're at. Even though we're involved in many, many different issues, we also have to relax. Because at the moment, we are in the month of Nullig, which is the hibernation time, when we have to slow down and take it easy. So to relax with an easygoing film or two short films is vitally important for us. So that's the Irish language drop-in centre. And after Christmas then, on the 29th of December and the 1st of January and the 2nd of January, we are participating in a long walk. In our history, way back in 1603, 400 years ago, our ancestors were driven out of their land by the English. And they had to go on a forced walk. And we are making that walk after Christmas to symbolise their dispossession from the land. The second short film that I organised around today is called Unté nach will lauder kafa ved lick. Again, the translation for that is, he or she who is not powerful has to be clever. Now, we suffered 800 years of colonisation by England. And in order to survive, we would have been wiped out as a people, only we were clever. We had to be. Okay? So What that means is that the Irish language wasn't completely wiped out. But as you rightly analysed, when you pick up a newspaper, when you listen to the radio, when you watch television, it's English. You're absolutely correct. Your visit here has been very analytical. That's exactly the situation. But can I also... Now, you might get depressed at thinking it's English, but no. But I also want to give you good news. And the good news is, okay, We are doing our best, but what is even better news is there are a lot of schools starting up that teach everything through Irish, which is very, very good news. Because what I was talking to you about, the celebration on the Hill of Allen, the celebration of Imbolc, I will be inviting a local school to participate in that, and that local school, they learn everything through Irish. So they will be a new generation of people who will have a great, great knowledge of Irish. So the Irish language is recovering. So even at the moment, as you speak, the appearances with globalisation, that English is everywhere and all the junk culture is all around us, just like in other countries. There's McDonald's, there's Burger King, there's Abracadabra, there's Microsoft. All this, every example is here. But side by side with that is a resurgence, a recovery, and a renewal of interest in the Irish language. So it is recovering. It did go through an enormously very, very difficult, dark period for about 70 or 80 years in our so-called freedom. But we got no freedom because we went off and we joined the European Union. And all the way, it is an enormous challenge and an enormous battle, Eric, to keep the Irish going. But it will become much easier in a generation to come. Why? Because of these schools that are starting up, where the parents are deciding, making a conscious decision to take their kids to an Irish school where they can learn the various subjects in Irish. Os Gaeilge.
Slovenija je v marsičem, po velikosti, številu prebivalstva, načinih poselitve, podobna Irski. Po vstopu v Evropsko unijo bo njen status po vsej verjetnosti podoben statusu Irske znotraj Evropske unije takoj po njenem vstopu v integracijo leta 1973. V evropskih očeh je tedaj Irska veljala za majhno, relativno periferno državo članico, ki je dobivala precejšen delež pomoči iz bruseljske blagajne, obenem pa ljubosumno ščitila svoje kmetijstvo. Nekdanji opis Irske v evropskem kontekstu nam tako zveni še kako domače, čeprav seveda irskega vstopa v Unijo leta 1973 ne gre kar počes primerjati s paketnim množičnim vstopom vzhodnoevropskih držav v letu 2004. Kaj si torej od vstopa v Evropsko unijo lahko obeta Slovenija? Kje ležijo prednosti in odkot prežijo nevarnosti?
Well, it's interesting that Ireland joined the European Union in 1973 and our economy, what they call the Celtic Tiger, the period of extreme prosperity that we have experienced, only started really in perhaps 1994, 1995. So really, we have been a member of the European Union for a long time and our economy wasn't doing as well as it is now. And I believe it's to do with factors other than our membership of the European Union that helped our economy to do so well over the past, perhaps, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. And already we're beginning to see ourselves going into a recession because, you know, global economic conditions are changing. It was American foreign direct investment that helped Ireland, and a lot of American foreign direct investment coming into this country, and now they're withdrawing it and we are suffering. So what we're finding is that our own indigenous, our own traditional, our own domestic industries have not been supported, and so we are entirely dependent, and this is what will happen to small countries, I believe, that we are entirely dependent on foreign direct investment, which means that once the corporations, multinational corporations, decide to rationalize or to withdraw their investment and to invest it somewhere else, perhaps in countries in the developing world where environmental standards are weaker or labor is cheaper, then we suffer and we have nothing to replace it with. So it's a very dangerous. I think Ireland is a small economy. We are a very open economy. We have become very dependent on foreign direct investment, and we have left ourselves very vulnerable, and we're going to suffer very much now if there is a downturn, or with the downturn in the global economy. And that is the risk for countries like your own as well, if you become dependent in the same way on foreign direct investment rather than building up your own national industries and national enterprises.
Ali se bomo Slovenci kaj naučili iz irske zgodbe o uspehu oziroma neuspehu? In če bi se tudi bili pripravljeni česa naučiti, ali smo sploh v položaju, ki bi dobre nauke lahko uveljavljali? Irska izkušnja nam kaže, da vstop v EU ne pomeni nujno srečnega gospodarskega razpleta z neomejenim trajanjem, dokler gospodarske interese in povezovanja narekuje profitna logika institucij, ki so zunaj nadzora političnih teles, da v interesih ljudstev niti ne govorimo. Slovenska politika bi morala vstop v EU prenehati uporabljati kot zarotitveni obrazec, ob katerem trezna presoja odpove. EU je bolj kot z gospodarskega vidika pomembna kot nastajajoča politična tvorba, ki se skuša osamosvajati iz objema velikega brata z relativno visoko ravnjo varovanja človekovih pravic in največ ostanki socialne države, ki jih premore ta svet. Po irski in irskih pubih se je sprehajal Erik, Ana Kralj je vse skupaj spravila na A4 format, Irsko pa svoj eter pripeljala tonska mojstrica Nataša in BMW.
Drse, ta velik gre!
Glej, flaša!
Odpri!
Sem flaširani duh, uresničil vam bom eno željo.
Da bi se morje spremenilo v irski pir.
Irska. O irskih džokih, pivu, viskiju, o irskih setrih in o vsem irskem v resnih oddajah o Irski.
Glint pa taka želja, zdaj bova mogla pa v čovn scat.
Priložnost zamujena ne vrne se nobena je projekt Radija Študent, ki odkriva spremembe v manjših državah po njihovi vključitvi v Evropsko unijo. Država prvega obiska, očitno Irska.
Projekt je podprla delegacija Evropske komisije v Sloveniji.
Nimam talenta. Nimam keša. Nimam ženske. Nimam razloga za življenje. Vi pa poslušate razvedrilni program Radija Študent.
What's the news, oh my bold chevalier, with your long-barreled gun of the sea? Say what wind from the sun blows his messenger here with a hymn of the dawn for the free? Goodly news, do I bring you the forth? Goodly news, shall you hear, bargeman? For the boys march at dawn from the south to the north, led by Kelly, the boy from Killan. Tell me who is the giant with the gold curling hair, he who rides at the head of your band.
7 feet is his height with some inches to spare, and he looks like a king in command. Oh, me boys, that's the pride of the bold Chevaliers, amongst our greatest of heroes a man. Fling your beavers aloft and give 3 rousing cheers for John Kelly, the boy from Killan. Enniscorth is in flames and old Wexford is won, and the Barrow tomorrow we cross. On a hill o'er the town we have planted a gun that will batter the gateways to Ross. All the fourth men and bargemen march o'er the heath with brave Harvey to lead on the van. But the foremost of all in that grim gap of death will be Kelly, the boy from Killan. But the gold sun of freedom grew dark in that Ross, and it set by the slain's red waves. And poor Wexford stripped naked hung high on a cross, with her heart pierced by traitors and slaves. Glory, oh, to her brave sons who died for the cause of long downtrodden man. Glory, oh, to Mount Leinster's own darling and bride, dauntless Kelly, the boy from Killan.
And Richard Tauber are singing by the bed. There's a glass of punch below your feet and an angel at your head. There's devils on each side of you with bottles in their hand. You need one more drop of poison and you'll dream of foreign lands.
When you pissed yourself in Frankfurt and got sipped down in Cologne, and you're at the rattling death trains as you lay there all alone. Frank Ryan bought you whiskey in a brothel in Madrid, and you text some fucking black shirt who was cursing all the yids. And a sick bit of Coop Cullen will kneel and say a prayer, but a ghost are rattling at the door and devils in that chair.
tavern. You screamed it was your shell, but I wouldn't give you service, so you kicked the windows out. They took you out into the street, kicked you in the brains, so you went back then through a bolted door and did it all again. And a sick bed of Coo Cullen will kneel and say a prayer, and the ghosts are rattling at the door, and the devil's in the chair. Hey! Remember that foul evening when you heard the banshees howl? There was lazy, drunken bastards singing Billy in the Bell. They took you up to midnight mass and left you in the lurch. So you